Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, two apparitions of the poor souls in purgatory. The first to a Franciscan sister, and the second to a brother, both asking for prayers. Stay tuned for two interesting private revelations, plus three prayers for the dying, on another Stories from the Heart. The Pains of Purgatory. A religious who died after an exemplary life, they known her sufferings in a manner calculated to inspire all souls with terror. The event took place on November 16, 1859, near Assisi in Italy. It made a great noise in the country, and besides the visible mark which was seen, and an inquiry made in due form by competent authority, established it as an incontestable fact. There was at that time at the convent a sister named Teresa Gesta, who had for many years mistress of novices, and who at the same time had charge of the sacristy of the community. Sister Teresa was a model of fervor and charity. "We need not be astonished," said her director, "if God glorifies her by some prodigy after her death." She died suddenly, November 4, 1859. 12 days later, on November 16th, a sister named Anna Felicia, who succeeded her in office, went to the sacristy and was about to enter when she heard moans which appeared to come from the interior of the room. Somewhat afraid, she hastened to open the door. There was no one. Again she heard the moans, and so distinctly that, notwithstanding her ordinary courage, she felt herself overpowered by fear. "Jesus! Mary," she cried, "what can that be?" She had not finished speaking when she heard a plaintive voice, accompanied with a painful sigh. "Oh, my God, how I suffer!" The sister, stupefied, immediately recognized the voice of poor Sister Teresa. Then the room was filled with a thick smoke, and the spirit of Sister Teresa appeared, moving towards the door and gliding along by the wall. Having reached the door, she cried out, "Behold a proof of the mercy of God." Saying these words, she struck the upper panel of the door, and there she left the print of her right hand burnt in the wood as with a red-hot iron. She then disappeared. Sister Anna Felicia was left half dead with fright. She burst forth into the loud cries for help. One of her companions ran, then a second, and finally the whole community. They pressed around her, astonished to find a strong odor of burnt wood. Sister Anna Felicia told what had occurred and showed them the terrible impression on the door. They instantly recognized the hand of Sister Teresa, which had been remarkably small. Terrified, they took to flight and ran to the choir, where they passed the night in prayer and penance for the departed, and the following morning all received Holy Communion for the repose of her soul. The news spread outside the convent walls, and many communities in the city united their prayers with those of the Franciscans. On the third day, November 18th, Sister Anna Felicia, on going in the evening to her cell, heard herself called by her name and recognized perfectly the voice of Sister Teresa. At the same instant, a globe or bright light appeared before her, illuminating her cell with the brightness of daylight. She then heard Sister Teresa pronounce these words in a joyful and triumphant voice, "I died on a Friday, the day of the Passion, and behold, on a Friday, I enter into eternal glory. Be strong to bear the cross, be courageous to suffer, and love poverty." And then adding affectionately, "Adieu," she became transfigured like a light, white and dazzling cloud, rose toward heaven and disappeared. During the investigation, which was held immediately, November 23rd, in the presence of a large number of witnesses, the tomb of Sister Teresa was opened, and the impression upon the door was found to correspond exactly with the hand of the deceased. The door with the burnt print of the hand, adds Monsignor Segur, is preserved with great veneration in the convent. The Mother Abbess, witness of the fact, was pleased to show it to me herself. Wishing to assure myself of the perfect exactitude of these details, I wrote to the bishop. He replied by giving me a circumstantial account, perfectly according with the above, and accompanied by a facsimile of their miraculous mark. This narrative explains the cause of the terrible expiation to which Sister Teresa was subjected. After saying, "Ah, how much I suffer," she added that it was for having, in the exercise of her office of sacristan, transgressed in some points the strict poverty prescribed by the rule. Thus we see divine justice punishes most severely the slightest faults. It may be here asked why the apparition, when making the mysterious mark on the door, called it a proof of the mercy of God. It is because, in giving us a warning of this kind, God shows us great mercy. He urges us in the most efficacious manner to assist the poor suffering souls and to be vigilant in our own regard. While speaking of this subject, we may relate a similar instance which happened in Spain and which caused great rumors in that country. Ferdinand of Castile thus relates it in his History of St. Dominic. A Dominican religious led a holy life in his convent in the city in the kingdom of Leon. He was united on the bonds of a pious friendship with a Franciscan brother like himself, a man of great virtue. One day, when conversing together on the subject of eternity, they mutually promised that, if it pleased God, the first who died should appear to the other to give him some advice. The friar minor died first, and one day, while his friend, the son of St. Dominic, was preparing the refectory, he appeared to him. After saluting him with respect and affection, he told him that he was among the elect, but that before he could be admitted to the enjoyment of eternal happiness, there remained much to be suffered for an infinity of small faults, of which he had not sufficiently repented during his life. "Nothing on earth," he added, "can give an idea of the torments which I endure, and of which God permits me to give you visible proof." Saying these words, he placed his right hand upon the table of the refectory, and the mark remained impressed upon the charred wood as though it had been applied by a red-hot iron. Such was the lesson which the fervent deceased Franciscan gave to his living friend. It was a profit not only to him, but to all those who came to see the burnt mark, so profoundly significant, for this table became an object of piety which people came from all parts to look upon. "It is still to be seen at Zamora," says Father Rossignoli, "at the time at which I write. To protect it, the spot has been covered with a sheet of copper. It was preserved until it was destroyed during the revolutions, like so many other religious memorials." Three beautiful prayers for the dying, which are very useful to a dying person and should be prayed often as an act of mercy. There once was in Rome a pope who was surrounded by many sins. The Lord God struck him with a fatal illness. When he saw that he was dying, he summoned cardinals, bishops, and learned persons and said to them, "My dear friends, what comfort can you give me now that I must die, and when I deserve eternal damnation for my sins?" No one answered him. One of them, a pious curate named John, said, "Father, why do you doubt the mercy of God?" The pope replied, "What comfort can you give me now that I must die and fear I'll be damned for my sins?" And John replied, "I will read three prayers over you. I hope you'll be comforted and that you'll obtain mercy from God." The pope was unable to say more. The curate and all those present knelt and said an Our Father and then the following three prayers. Prayer 1. Lord Jesus Christ, Thou Son of God and Son of the Virgin Mary, God and man, Thou who in fear sweated blood for us on the Mount of Olives in order to bring peace and to offer Thy most holy death to God Thy Heavenly Father for the salvation of this dying person. If it be, however, that by his sins he merits eternal damnation, then it may be deflected from him. This, O Eternal Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, Thy dear Son, who liveth and reigneth in union with the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Prayer 2. Lord Jesus Christ, Thou who meekly died on the trunk of the cross for us, submitting Thy will completely to Thy Heavenly Father, in order to bring peace and offer Thy most holy death to Thy Heavenly Father in order to free this person and to hide from him what he has earned with his sins. Grant, O Eternal Father, through our Lord Jesus, thy Son, who liveth and reigns with thee in union with the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Prayer 3. Lord Jesus Christ, thou who remained silent to speak through the mouths of the prophets, I have drawn thee to me through eternal love, which love drew thee from the body of the Virgin into the valley of this needful world, which love kept thee 33 years in this world as a sign of great love. Thou hast consented to be a prisoner and to be led from one judge to another as a sign of great love. Thou hast consented to be condemned to death and hast consented to die and to be buried and ascended under thy own strength and power and sitteth at the right hand of God, thy heavenly Father. And thou hast sent thy Holy Spirit into the heart of the apostles and the hearts of all who hope and believe in thee. Through thy sign of eternal life, open to heaven today and take this dying person and all his sins to the realm of thy heavenly Father, that he may reign with thee now and forever. Amen. Meanwhile, the Pope died. The curate persevered to the third hour. Then the Pope appeared to him in body and comforting him, his countenance as brilliant as the sun, his clothes as white as snow. And he said, My dear brother, whereas I was supposed to be a child of damnation, I've become a child of happiness. As you recited the first prayer, many of my sins fell from me as rain from heaven. And as you recited the second prayer, I was purified, as a goldsmith purifies gold in a hot fire. I was still further purified as you recited the third prayer. Then I saw heaven open and the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of God the Father, who said to me, Come, all thy sins are forgiven thee. You'll be and remain in the realm of my Father forever. Amen. With these words, my soul separated from my body, and the angels of God led it to eternal joy. As the curate heard this, he said, O Holy Father, I can't tell these things to anyone, for they won't believe me. Then the Pope said, Truly I tell thee, the angel of God stands with me and has written the prayers in letters of gold for the consolement of sinners. If a person has committed all the sins in the world, but that the three prayers should have been read over him at his death, all his sins will be forgiven him. Even though his soul was supposed to suffer until the last judgment, it will be redeemed. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story came from the Book of Purgatory by Father Francis Xavier Choate, The Prayer for the Dying, courtesy of Friends of the Poor Souls. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.